Please join me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we once again thank Thee for this blessed opportunity we have to come to Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray that Thy Spirit might be with us, that now we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee for the song service, for the hymns of Zion, for those who wrote the music and the words, and for the joy in singing them. And we thank Thee for the opportunity of prayer. And as we enter into the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, we pray that Thy Spirit might yet be with us, be with Thy servant, that he may preach the unsearchable riches of Thy grace and power and demonstration of Thy Spirit. And be with Thy people as they listen. And bless us all to hear these things, to use, and then use them in our lives to honor and to glorify Thee. Bless, we pray, those who have been mentioned on the prayer list and all for whom is our duty and privilege to pray. We ask Thee to forgive us of our sins, and all this we ask in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I'm not going to announce my text right now, but I want to give some examples in the Old Testament, one in the Old Testament, and examples of some in the New Testament also, and then I'll get to the text that I feel led to preach. Now, I want to mention there was a king, the third king, beg your pardon, the fourth king of the, well, that was king in Israel, and then, but he was then the first king of Judah, that is, after the kingdom was divided. And this man's name, some of you may know this, was Rehoboam, who was a son of Solomon and the grandson of David. And the fourth king, and yet the first king, after the kingdom was divided in Judah. Now, I want to read about him in 1 Kings chapter 12 and the first five verses. 1 Kings chapter 12 and the first five verses. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, and all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. All right. And so they asked him to ease the burden of his father Solomon. Now, the best, I tried to look this up and get some information, and what I found was that the taxes they had to pay. They had to pay taxes, that is, to finish the buildings that Solomon made, that is, the temple. And then there was his house, and he had at least two houses. There was one in Jerusalem, there was one in the forest of Lebanon also. And then there were houses for each of his wives. And remember, he had 700 of them, and besides a number of concubines, which were also wives, but not as desirable or lesser than the than a regular wife, one that was called a wife, those 700. Now, and so to do all that. And then, not only that, but and other material blessings, possessions also, but then to build places of idol worship. Solomon, king of Israel, that evidently was so close to God because of the wives that he had, that is, he walked in the ways of God for a while, but he married Gentile women that God forbade in the law because they would turn his heart away from the Lord. And when he was older, they did just exactly that. And if there was one from the Zidonians, Ashtaroth was the god of the Sidonians, and so he would build a place for the worship of Ashtaroth. And then if there were 700 wives that had 700 different places and 700 gods, then he built places of worship for all of those gods. Solomon did that. And so that would take a lot of pressure from the people. And that was a burden. Another thing I thought about was that he sent men in long places to be gone for a period of time. And they would work on him. They would leave their families and they would work. But there were three groups of these, and he would leave one, and that group would come back, and then he would send another, and that group would come back, and then he would send the third, and then that group would come back, and he'd send the first, and that continued over and over. Solomon did that. Maybe that was something they had in mind. Now, and so, but Rehoboam, he said, okay, now you leave for 3 days, and after 3 days, I will give you an answer. Rehoboam consulted with the older counselors, that is, those that were older and wiser. Those older counselors, consulted the king to lighten the load. And he said, if they did that, the older men said, then the people would serve him forever. And the people promised to do the same. Even Jeroboam, that rebelled against his father Solomon, said, now listen, if you will lighten that load, then we, including me, the rebellious one, we will serve you, we will serve you forever. And again, the people promised to do the same. Now, Rehoboam consulted also with the younger men. And they told him just the opposite, and the king hearkened to the counsel, the foolish counsel of the younger men. Now, I can't imagine the thoughts they had when Rehoboam and his buddies, they knew that they were going to be in power. And I thought the idea they may have had, well, when we get in power, we're going to do everything we want to do. And there are people like that. In regards to what it may be, if they are in power, they think they can do everything they want to do. Well, it just doesn't work like that. And so I can imagine that. Now, Rehoboam's answer to the Israelites was this. In fact, this is found in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verses 12 through 14. And these verses read, so Rehoboam and all the people came unto Jeroboam. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will answer your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now, we know what scorpions are. I don't know if there was anything else that was a scorpion, or if it was a different type of the scorpions we have here, or what the case may be. Now, you know, we never have been blessed with scorpions till we came to this area. And then what a blessing it is to be where we have scorpions. Now, I'm saying that, I'm joking, as I think some of you know, all of you know, because you're grinning about that. Well, we've had those, and I was bitten by one of them because I wasn't careful. I sit down at the desk chair and swing in with my feet and legs underneath the table, and I got nailed by about one of them. Well, and he didn't last long, as you might imagine, but we don't have many of them. Captain sprays, but I understand others have trouble with them also if they don't spray. But this is a different type of thing. There may have been some type of serpent that was called a scorpion. I don't know. I have seen bigger scorpions. It seemed like they were about that long. Now, I'd hate to be nailed by one of those. But nevertheless, but he says, I'm going to use whips and scorpions for you. Now, whips were like the whips used for horses. I don't think Solomon ever did anything like that. There's no record in Scripture that Solomon did everything like that. And he says, but I'm going to whip you with scorpions. Now, the scorpion was not an insect or some type of viper or some type of snake like that, but it was an iron rod with spikes in it. That's what I'm going to beat you with. I'm going to beat you with an iron rod with spikes in it. Now, when he said that, he was using figurative language in this. But that is, he was going to be more severe to the people of Israel than was some. That is, I've got power and I'll do what I want because I have that power. And the result of that was, as we find it later in the same chapter, that the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam reigned over the northern 10 tribes, and they were called Israel. Later on, they were called Samaria, because Samaria was later the capital city of Israel. And then there was Benjamin and Judah. Yeah, those two tribes, and they were called the tribe of Judah. By the way, the word Jew, or the name Jew, never appears in the scripture until the kingdom was divided, and those in Judah, as you might imagine, were called Jews. Now, there were those in Jesus' day that were also like Rehoboam, the scribe and the Pharisees. To see this, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23 and the first four verses. Again, it's Matthew chapter 23 and the first four verses. And these verses read, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their work, for they say, and do not." Now here's what I want to get really in verse 4. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Now, that's the kind of people that were like Rehoboam, King Rehoboam in Old Testament times. The scribes and Pharisees were much like this. Jesus also included the lawyers in Luke chapter 11 and verse 46. That is, he pronounced the same woes on them, pronounced the same thing on them as he did the scribes and Pharisees here in Matthew chapter 23. I wonder if the lawyers were also scribes and Pharisees, but lawyers in that day, these were masters of the law. That is, they were excellent. They excelled in knowledge of the law, supposedly, and also in teaching the law to others. And so that's Jesus pronounced woes on them. Now, later on in this 23rd chapter of Matthew, he didn't say it in those verses there. It's not included, rather, in those verses there. Now, the lawyers may have been scribes or Pharisees. I'm not sure about that. But nevertheless, those were the kind of people they were. Now, the lowly and the humble were beneath their dignity. Turn over to Matthew 9, if you will, to see some of this. That is, the lowly and the humble were beneath the dignity of scribes and Pharisees. Look in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 10 through 11. And these verses read, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Now, the beautiful thing about this, they sat down and they eat. One of the things that I'm not sure about now, and to some degree I suppose it might be, but one of the things in that day especially, when someone sat down and ate a meal together, that was a sign or a symbol of reconciliation. And so Jesus was reconciled to these scribes and Pharisees. And that says something of the beauty of Jesus. Now, let's continue on with the reading there. I think I read all of verse 10 picking up at verse 11. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, he wasn't saying, by the way, that the scribes and Pharisees did not need a physician, or neither what, and hold that they did not need a physician. But what he was saying there, that those that were sick and knew they were sick and were burdened about the fact that they were sick, such as the publicans and sinners, said they need a physician. But those of you, he didn't say it in that many ways, later on in one of these gospel records we find out they knew just exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew that Jesus was talking about them. But those of you that think you are whole and think you don't need a physician, then and I didn't come to you. That's one way of saying it, I suppose. But Jesus was saying that those scribes and Pharisees, the publicans and sinners. Now, publicans, I think many of you know, were tax collectors. Matthew, called Levi in one of the gospel records, I think the gospel according to Luke, was a tax collector. And the thing that the Jewish people knew, first of all, they collected taxes for the despised Roman government. That's bad enough with itself. But for some of them knew, I think, that the publicans knew how much taxes that any individual owed, but they were also told anything you get above that, you get to keep that. That is, they were charging them more than what they really owed and keep that for themselves. Whether they got any other payment or not, I don't know about that. But the fact is that that's what many of them did. So there was a stereotype about tax collectors. And of course, everybody even today loves tax collectors, as you might imagine. We all love paying taxes. And I'm sure you know better than that. But the fact is that that's what they call them. Now, sinners, of course, we're all sinners. But sinners was a particular caste along with publicans in that day. And that is that there were people that supposedly lusted for the most horrible sins that you might imagine. Whatever sin it was, they lusted after that. That was a stereotype about sinners. And yet, these knew they needed a physician. These publicans and these sinners came to Jesus. Now, they weren't the stereotypical publicans or stereotypical sinners. They weren't that. But these were those that repented. They turned from the error of their way. They were burdened about this. They knew within themselves because of the Spirit of God within them. They knew what they did was ungodly. And they wanted to repent of their sins. And they came to Jesus for them. Now, but again, concerning the scribes and Pharisees, and they were offended if these undesirables approached them and they turned them away, regardless of what they were. Now, I think one thing about the caste system, now this wasn't right, but this is the way it was, so I've been taught. That is, one was a sinner, but this one was born to a family of sinners, husband and wife that were sinners, and didn't matter what that person did, they were always sinners. Didn't matter if any of them repented. They truly were sinners in the sense that I said just a moment ago. If they truly were sinners, if they repented, they were still sinners. They were in that cast, they would always be in that cast. A rose is a rose is a rose. A sinner is a sinner is a sinner. And so they looked down upon them and they turned them away. Now, the ways of these, Rehoboam and scribes and Pharisees can be contrasted, not compared, but contrasted with the ways of Jesus, or to the way of Jesus. And that's in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. Again, Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. And these beautiful words read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, that's one of the most beautiful expressions of Scripture found, I believe, in the Word of God. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Those that were turned away by the scribes and the Pharisees, And those whose repentance was no good because of the caste system I mentioned just a moment ago. They were turned away by them. He said, "Now, come to me, and I'll give you rest." And we sang in Abide With Me just a few moments ago about the idea that we can turn to the Lord and turn to the Lord only. When maybe we tried other things and yet found that didn't work, we can trust the Lord and we can ask Him to abide with us. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when we humbly come to the Lord and ask the Lord to abide with us, He will indeed abide with us. And we have the humble desire to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, He will abide with us. And thank the Lord for that tremendous promise there. Jesus said He would give rest to those who came to Him. Now think about that. Just a few moments ago, I read from, I believe, Matthew chapter 9 about how, the Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. These were those that were laboring. These were those that were heavy laden about their sins, and they came to Jesus. These were those that realized they needed something more in their lives, whatever their situation was. Some of them were publicans. They may have been rich. And in regard to what their circumstances in life may have been, they realized they needed something more in their lives. And Jesus gave them that something extra, something more they needed in their lives. And so they came to Jesus, and they found rest in Jesus, and their sorrow for sins could be turned into joy. Their burdens in life could be eased also. I think about the Psalm, a verse of Scripture, or a portion of a verse of Scripture that I used not too long ago. It was in Psalm 30 and verse 5, when it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Those publicans and sinners that came to Jesus, they no doubt wept because of their sins. They knew they were sinners. They didn't need anyone to tell them that they were sinners. And then they were told about Jesus, and Jesus received sinful men. I don't remember if it's in this hymn or not, but I've sung in another hymn that Jesus received sinful men. And they came to Jesus because they knew Jesus would receive sinful men. That is, repentant sinful men. If these publicans still stole from the public, then he'd have no use for them. If these sinners still lusted after the worst kind of sins or sins here, then Jesus would have no use for them. But because they repented and they turned from their sins, then Jesus ate with them. And again, I remind you, that was a symbol of Jesus saying, "I am reconciled with you as you're walking and repenting of your, or you have repented of your sins and you're striving to walk in my way." And so these were blessed by Jesus. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Others would not so much as allow the yoke of service for them. But Jesus said, "Learn of me." Listen, brother and sister, we can learn Jesus by taking His yoke. That is, by walking in His ways. If we're not willing to walk in the ways of Jesus, we won't know Jesus. But if we're willing to walk in the ways of Jesus and walk with Jesus in His yoke, then, listen, we'll know Jesus. The Lord will bless us to indeed know Him. Jesus said we should do it because He is meek and lowly in heart. We meet very nice people. All of us do. All of us do. Whether they're a cashier at Walmart, waitress in a restaurant, whatever the case may be, someone who serves us in one way or another, we meet very nice people. We come across some that aren't, but we're all been blessed to meet some very nice people. And the more we are around them, we know why they are nice. They're not nice because they're supposed to be that, and of course that may do it to some degree, but they don't do that just because they're supposed to be that way, but they do it because that's what they are. Now that's an amazing thing. Sometimes people treat us nicely because that's what they are. It made me think, now why you say, well, why do you think of this? One young lady, Catherine and I and Robert, when he was our only child, before the others were born, of course, when we lived in Albany, we'd go to a pizza inn. And there was one young lady there. She was a beauty contest winner. And she waited our table every time we were there. And she was such a nice person, just a very nice person. That's one of the reasons we wanted her to wait our table. And I, in a camera shop where I shot at that time, I bought film and other things like that, and back in the dark ages when people used film. But I think I'm one of the last ones to come out of the dark ages to use digital. But regardless of that, someone there taking pictures in the beauty contest. And this young lady had such a beautiful smile. And the other young lady, she was an attractive young lady, but she had one of these glued-on smiles. Now, you've seen one of those every once in a while, I suppose. There's a difference in night and day. One was smiling because, really, that's what she was. And the other one was going out of her way to smile because that's what she was supposed to do. Now, that's the difference there. And that is some people are just nice, not because they're supposed to be that way, but because that's just really what they are. Because that nature is something that is within them, and they're trying to follow that. Now, but Jesus said, go back to Jesus, I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, I thought that meant that Jesus was meek and lowly, and it does, by the way. But that's not all it says. And you know, I've tried to preach this here twice already, in different ways both times. I've tried to preach this here everywhere I've been as a pastor, I guess. And no matter how many other places where I was a pastor, supplying and whatever. And I love this passage of Scripture. And yet, one thing I haven't noticed, where Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. That is, that's what I am. That is, when Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart, he was saying, that's the very core of me. Meek and lowly was the very core of Jesus Christ. And you might imagine, the heart is the inner part of a tree. And our hearts keep the rest of our bodies alive. If our heart is healthy, then very likely all the rest of the body might be healthy. But if the heart is not good, then the rest of the body will not be good. There'll be more likely to be problems in the rest of the body if the heart is not healthy as it ought to be. And so if the heart is this way, then the rest of us will be that way. And so that's what Jesus was. I am meek and lowly in heart. Meekness and lowliness was the very core of Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, and so we need to remember that. Now, Jesus said, when we take his yoke upon us, then we will find rest. It is rest, brothers and sisters, to know, and I'm sure all of you felt this at one time, you've done something good, you didn't do it to get anything in return from that, you did it just because that's the right thing to do. And when you did that, it's rest that you, the Lord, I feel like, probably blessed you with something, some good feeling. And that, by the way, I believe is the felt presence of His Spirit, to let you know that He was pleased with something that you did. That doesn't mean He's pleased with everything that we've always done, but the fact is there's something in our lives that we've done, and the Lord has blessed us with the felt presence of the Spirit and that good feeling to let us know that He's pleased with those things that He did. And so when we take His yoke upon us, then we will find rest, because Jesus gave us that promise. Jesus said also that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Now, compared to those heavy burdens and those burdens that are grievous to be more. Like in the time of Rehoboam, see, I started to say Jeroboam. Now, I remember Bible study lesson years ago when I was a boy. Someone, it's hard to remember which Rehoboam and Jeroboam, but it was Rehoboam. Now, such as the burdens of Rehoboam the king, and then the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers. Now, they laid heavy burdens on people that were grievous, sorrowful, to be born. But Jesus said, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Now, God's people have difficulty in life. All of us do. All of God's people have difficulty in life. Some have even been put to death. But Jesus' yoke is still easy and His burden is still light. Jesus was with them during those times of difficulty. Jesus is always in the yoke with us. He always gives grace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, and well, let's turn over there, because there's some other things I remember that I want to read there. Can't remember what they are right now, but I hope I'll remember when I get there. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And it reads, "But the God of all grace," that's the thing I thought about before. You see, He's the God of all grace. All right. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, and settle you. Strengthen, settle you. That is, he gives us those things in our lives. He's called us unto eternal glory. That is, we experience his glory as we live here in this world. Jesus Christ is his glory. And the glory of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, down to this world, became a man and suffered and went to the cross to shed his blood, to die and redeem us from our sins. Jesus did that. That's the glory of God. Greater than all others, salvation by grace is indeed the great glory of God. And he's the God of all grace, brothers and sisters. Now, I remember there's this book I read called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it's a book about that thick, and it's about martyrs. From beginning with Jesus Christ and his apostles and Stephen and other followers of Jesus Christ put to death or tortured because, persecuted, that's the word in Scripture, persecuted because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like an easy reading. In that book, I read about a man who was burned at the stake. And after a while, he didn't make any kind of movement. And they surely thought he was dead. The evidence of the fire on him and so forth, they thought surely he was dead. But he raised his head and praised the Lord. And then he passed away. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that man went through some horrible things. But Jesus was with him. Life is not always a bed of roses, even when we're faithful to Jesus. But I promise you, brothers and sisters, Jesus has promised when we're faithful to him, and if we have trials and tribulations because of our faithfulness to him, he will be with us. Now, and thank the Lord for that. Jesus is with his people today, as he was that man, and as he was in biblical times. And his word is just as true today as it was in the past. Jesus, brothers and sisters, will be true to us. Now, may God bless us to remember the promise in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Verses 28 through 30, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, I'm going to stop reading right there. This is Mother's Day. Isn't that what a mother is? That more or less, she can't do what Jesus said, but come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The mother looks over us and watches over us and cares for us, especially in our weak times. I remember, and listen, when we get to be adults, mothers don't discontinue caring for us. Mothers don't discontinue praying for us. My mother has told me that she prays for me every day, but especially on Sunday morning. I have a New Testament at home. It was my daddy's that he carried with him in World War II as he fought in Italy. And I won't get into that, but he used to wear it on the inside of his coat pocket on this to protect his heart. And one of the covers on that was brass. I had to shed tears a little bit when I first saw it. It says it was given by mother. And I thought, how many times she must have been on her knees praying for her son that he would not get wounded, he would not be killed, he would be able to come back to her and the rest of the family. Daddy was not married there, but he came back in 44 or 45. I'm just not sure about that. And he married in 45, had four children, eight grandchildren, and two great grandchildren that he was never been able to see. But the Lord blessed him. The Lord answered those prayers, and the Lord blessed Daddy to be able to come back. Now, but again, Jesus, remember what Jesus said: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I want to say something, just a couple of words, a few words, about the language in the beginning of verse 30. Remember, John the Baptist spoke in by presenting Jesus, appointing Jesus out, when he said in John chapter 1, the Gospel according to John chapter 1, verse 29, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, beg your pardon, where it says, the angel said to Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, when you use the pronoun he there, my mother taught me that shall is the most powerful way that you can say something is going to happen in the future. That is, it will be done. All right, now listen to this again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. She taught me also that when you use the pronoun I, that when you say I will, is the most powerful way of expressing that. And so, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, that's just as powerful as it was when it says, he shall save his people from their sins. We believe that. We believe that everyone that God chose in Christ before the world began will be resurrected by Christ to be in heaven's pure world forever, and glorified as he himself is glorified. That is indeed going to happen. And yet, just as powerful as that is when Jesus said, I will give you rest. And so, brothers and sisters, that's a tremendous promise of Jesus Christ. The Lord help us. It's not just a one-time thing, but every day of our lives that we might come to Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, Jesus will give us rest. Let me say one thing. I'm not going to get any details about this now or privately, but just one day this past week was Wednesday night, I think. No, Wednesday, Thursday night. About 3:30, before then, I got up about 3:30 in the morning. For a good while before then, I couldn't sleep. So finally I said, okay, get up. And so I got up. And hopefully that Catherine and I won't be tossing and turning, she'll be able to sleep. Something worried me so much that I just couldn't sleep. And I got up and turned the coffee on, drank the coffee and whatever. Had to drive by Dayton back that morning also. And I did that. But the Lord was with me in that. But you know, the fact is now, I still think of what burdened me so badly on Thursday night, early Thursday morning, I suppose you might say. And yet, now it's better. I feel better. I feel like the Lord will bless in whatever way it may be, or whatever way He may choose. Now, God help us all to come to Jesus, because He has promised to give us rest. And then also, not only just come to Jesus, but take His yoke upon us, and He'll give us rest. Listen, the beauty of that, I don't think I said this earlier, but as I think about a yoke, I said all around this, I think of a big beam across there, and then two hoops there. It looks like that's pretty heavy, and to some degree it is. It would be for me, but for a big oxen it wouldn't be. But the fact is, they had that on, and it helps them to pull heavy loads that they pull. And so, brothers and sisters, when we're in the yoke with Jesus, Jesus is in the other side of the yoke, and He is helping us, and He will not allow us to have so much burden that we cannot bear. And so God help us remember to come to Jesus, and He has promised He will give us rest. May the Lord help us to think on these things, is my prayer for Christ's sake.